Blog Talk Radio.
For you, I'd give a lifetime of stability. Anything you want me. Nothing is impossible for you. There are no words or ways to show my love or all the thoughts I'm thinking of. 'Cause this life is no good alone. Since we've become one, I made a change. Everything I do. Change all thoughts I had for you. There is no low or high or in between of my heart that you haven't seen. 'Cause I share all I have and am. Nothing I say is hard to understand. All I feel
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another Nation Building Blog Talk Radio program. I am the co-host of this show, Brother Kadeem, and before we begin, we want to ask everybody to keep our dear sister, Sister Queen, in prayers, as this is her show. She hosts this show every Thursday. In fact, she hosts a show 7 days a week. Our dear sister is ill. And she may possibly be joining us with those who have questions in the chat room and those who have questions on the line. So we definitely want to keep our dear sister in prayers. But let me open up in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the All-Wise, True and Living God, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. We thank Allah for coming and raising up the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we thank them both for leaving in our midst, our divine leader, our teacher, our guide, a very beautiful, humble man who is like a spiritual father to us all. And that man is none other than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And in their names, I would like to greet all of you in the greeting words of peace and paradise of As-Salaamu Alaikum. We have another very powerful subject tonight. We're talking about Dianetics and the benefit of Dianetics in your marriage. Now, some of you may not know what Dianetics is, but we will most certainly get into it. Our dear brother, Brother Stanley Muhammad, will be joining us. His dear wife, Sister Ruth, will be joining us, and we're looking forward to a powerful, packed discussion this evening. So, briefly, I want to say, what is Dianetics? L. Ron Hubbard discovered the single source of nightmares and unreasonable fears, upset, insecurities, and psychosomatic illness, the reactive mind. In his book entitled Dianetics, The Modern Science of Mental Health, he describes the reactive mind in detail and laid out a simple, practical, easily taught technology to overcome it and reach the state of clear. Dianetics is that technology. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan introduced this technology to those in the Nation of Islam, I believe, almost three years ago now. And there have been many in the Nation of Islam who have experienced tremendous change, positive change in their lives. And God willing, hopefully some of those who have experienced that change will be able to call in if they're listening or have something to say in the chat room if they're listening and contribute to this conversation. But before we go any further, I would like for our dear brother and our dear sister, Brother Stanley and Sister Ruth, to definitely introduce themselves, though they do not need any introduction whatsoever. Brother Stanley, in fact, if we could start with your wife, dear brother, Sister Ruth, please introduce yourself to our listening audience this evening.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Well, I'm Sister Ruth Muhammad, and I have studied the Dianetics, and I had completed the first course, which is becoming an auditor. So I am a certified auditor, and I also completed a course dealing with being a seminar supervisor. So by Allah's grace, you know, I have a certificate for that, and I thank Allah for the minister for putting us on that course to, you know, learn about Dianetics, because it has helped my husband and I, you know, in our marriage, and just, you know, in even in life itself, to, you know, better understand sometimes, you know, when we have certain feelings and why we feel certain ways, and it brings so much understanding. And it opens your eyes, you know. So, and like they said, knowing is half the battle. So when you know certain things about yourself, then, you know, you work, you know, you're more successful in becoming better because, you know, you learn about yourself. And it's not a guessing game, but it's real, you know, so. I thank Allah for the minister, you know, for putting us on that course, and because if it was not for him, I don't think I would have, you know, ever even looked into it or even, you know, or even known anything about it. So I definitely, you know, attribute that to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for opening our eyes to Dianetics. And so that's what, you know, my introduction for this session would be. I've been married, you know, 24 years by Allah's grace, and 9 children. So it's definitely been a blessing in my marriage, you know, studying that process.
Well, praise be to Allah, dear sister, and thank you so much. And definitely we're happy to have you on the line with us this evening. And now our big brother, student minister, Brother Stanley Muhammad, please, dear brother, come on and bring yourself on to the program tonight.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kadeem, Sister Queen Aziza, and to the listening audience. First of all, I would start off by praying that Sister Queen Aziza is blessed with a speedy recovery and a healing from our Lord. She's a magnificent sister, and we pray that Allah blesses her to get some rest, which is a part of the healing, and to be able to build that intimate relationship with Allah, and through patience and prayer, and our prayers go out to her and her family. Well, Brother Kadeem, Dianetics, di means to go through. Netics means the soul and the mind. In the book of Psalms, chapter 23, David the psalmist says, "And he restoreth my soul." We never knew how God would restore our soul. But, of course, he restores our soul through his divine revelation, but also by means of a law or technology. And this technology that the Honorable Ms. Wusparakan found for us, it is something that he believes that L. Ron Hubbard was the vessel which God have revealed this technology for our restoration. The Honorable Ms. Wusparakan, I heard him say, L. Ron Hubbard was born to aid the prophets of God, to kill the mind of Yaqub or the devil in us. He also said that this technology will help us to be restored from the aberrations as a result of what people have done to us in our life. If we've been raped, molested, abused in any form or way, verbally or physically, this technology will erase the emotional and the physical pain that's attached with this abuse, that will restore our soul and will allow us to reach a optimum joy. Problem is these, what they call engrams. Engrams on the spiritual terms is demons. Each time we experience these emotional and physical abuses, it captures a degree of our life force. It captures intelligence. It captures our happiness. It captures our peace of mind. And it really, when we experience these demons taking over our mind and soul, we begin to re-dramatize this event without even knowing that we're doing it, because these are hidden experiences. Because when your mind goes through a trauma, it shuts down, the degree of your consciousness shuts down. While this traumatic experiences are being recorded in our mind, in a part of our mind called the reactive mind. It is reactive mind because it's our reaction towards something traumatic, and it is so crude that it can stand that kind of abuse. and record, conscious of everything that's going on in most of these traumatic cases. So then when we hear certain songs while we're being abused, while we're hearing sirens, or we might hear someone saying certain things, certain phrases, well, when the recording is over of this engram, we go through life, and we might hear that song. We might hear that siren. We might hear that command phrase, and we start re-dramatizing the emotions that we're experiencing, and to other people, we look irrational, and we are acting irrational, but part of your mind, your conscious mind, try to justify these irrational thoughts, these irrational ways, behaviors. But we really are like acting like a puppet. The engram has us doing as it pleases, and we're not ourselves. Thank Allah for this wonderful technology that can actually free us from these demons. And so I'm happy to say that my wife and I went through the course, and both of us are certified auditors. An auditor is one who is like a counselor, but more a scientific counselor, actually knows how to go to the root of the cause of the problem in a very mathematical way. An auditor means one who listens and computes, who listens and computes. And the one who sits in the chair is called a pre-clear, because the object is to clear that person from all of their past aberrations, even to conception, even at the time of conception. So we are thankful to Allah for this wonderful technology that we believe that God taught L. Ron Hubbard, or gave L. Ron Hubbard, this technology to give to us at this proper time. So thank you for allowing me to share, Brother Kadeem, and I'm looking forward to the show.
I am, and thank you, Brother Stanley, and also Sister Ruth. And you actually answered a question I had earlier. I thought it would be important to introduce a couple of terms, and you mentioned them, engrams being one, the reactive mind being another, because the beauty of this show and this topic is Dianetics is something that we as Muslims in the Nation of Islam have been instructed by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to undergo. But we're not studying Scientology. We are Muslims. And that is for our listening audience who may be Christian or whatever your following or faith may be. Dianetics is a universal technology that can heal all, no matter what you call yourself. And so I think that is beautiful, because in past discussions, it kind of may have appeared like the discussion was leaning toward the way of Muslims in the Nation of Islam. Well, tonight's subject matter is a beautiful one, because this is about how Dianetics, this technology, can be beneficial to your marriage. But with that being said, Brother Stanley, I do have a question. How do you, let me start here. I have said recently that I think that as it relates particularly to courtship in the Nation of Islam, that perhaps Dianetics should be a requirement. There are some who argue to say that it should not be something that is forced. That's fine. Do you think that, or what is your opinion with Dianetics being something that should be a requirement for those who are believers in courtship, for those who are already married and having problems and don't really know the source of their problem? What do you think would be the benefit of going through the auditing process?
Well, you know, the problem is that most marriages, or let's say relationships, you go into a courtship. Going to courtship is not a requirement for Dianetics, but marriage, I believe, is. And the reason why I say courtship is just simply that you're getting acquainted with that person. You're not in a relationship with that person in terms of this is my spouse. But I believe that regardless if you're in courtship or not, it should be a requirement, because the engrams that's in our mind through the past experiences, negative experiences that we have experienced, is making us other than ourselves. You know, it's when in the church, Brother Kadeem, when the pastor hits a point, some people in the audience close their eyes and throw their hands up in the air and shake their hands and
right,
as though that they have actually experiencing what the church calls the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
but really what that is that the pastor touched on a pain that had not yet been healed. They haven't been healed from it. The pastor just touched on it, but he didn't heal them from it. And that's why oftentimes we go to church, we go to the mosque, we go to the synagogue, and we experience a spiritual inspirational message. And we do make progress to a degree, but there are still aberrations there that this Dianetics technology can reach and heal us from. It's likened to Jesus casting out the 7 demons in the woman. And this is the work of an auditor to cast out demons that we never knew that were there, causing us to experience an arrested development in our life, causing us to run people from our life, husband, wife, friend, relatives, when certain people don't want to be around us because we have a certain character flaw. It's not our fault. It's really what was done to us. And Dianetics is not something that you're confessing your sins. Is not what you've done to yourself, is what was done to us, is what the real problem is. So I recommend, regardless if you're in courtship or not, everyone should experience this technology and be cleared from all demons that's in their life.
Praise be to Allah. And you, Sister Ruth, how do you see the benefit of auditing in the marriage, or prior to two people becoming married?
Yes, sir. My husband was giving me, we were talking earlier, and he gave me a scenario, and it sounds like, you know, like I can say it would be for me. And he was saying that he was listening to a radio show, and it was talking about someone traveling to Alaska. And when they traveled to Alaska, they packed up, you know, they put in their suitcase coats, winter things that will protect them from that type of weather. So in their luggage, you know, they had those things that would protect them from that climate. So then that same person left Alaska and went to a tropical island, somewhere in the tropics where the sun is hot, and, you know. But that person took the same luggage that they took to Alaska, with the coats and, you know, everything that covers you from that type of climate. So while they're in a tropical island, they got on coats, boots, hats, winter hats, gloves, and people are looking like, you know, what is wrong with this person that is wearing something that's not appropriate for that climate. So I say that Dynetics has been that. You know, it has, we have traveled in life with, and one thing that L. Ron Hubbard said about the reactive mind, it says the sole and only content of the reactive mind is what exterior sources have done to the organism. That means that your reactive mind is based upon everything that has been done to you. It's not about what you've done to yourself, but it's outside things, you know. So I see it as that in life, you know, I travel through my life years with this baggage, you know, this luggage that is not appropriate, you know, for the different journeys that I have made, you know. So it was like, and I think that the reactive mind, you know, things that have happened to me, people done to me, you know, from, you know, at birth, in my mother's womb, you know, affected me through the years, and not understanding why I felt a certain way or why I acted a certain way or why I was a certain type of way, not understanding why until, you know, I was blessed to get, you know, this knowledge. So now that has happened, I have, you know, I am still in the process of being audited. And just being audited, you know, the few times that I have been audited has helped me release, you know, some of those engrams, which made me feel different. You know, I felt better. I seen things different, you know. So I know it works. You know, I know that letting go of that, you know, leaving that luggage in Alaska and yeah, packing the proper things, you know, for the tropics is what auditing has done for me, is that, you know, it removed, you know, that engram that caused me to be stuck, you know, at a certain point in my life, which leads to depression because it only deals with pain. Anything that affects us, that is painful to us, whether it's emotional, physical, you know, any type of pain is what causes the mind to react like that, you know. So I think that it has helped me even in my marriage. I remember one time my husband, I was getting audited every day. I mean, not every day, every week. Once a week I was getting audited, I mean, without fail. And my husband noticed the difference, and I noticed the difference too, but I didn't pinpoint it. You know, I thought it was just that's how I am.
Right.
Even though I noticed that I was, you know, a little more calmer and just more, you know, laid back. And, you know, I'm like, can't nothing mess with me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So I'm in that mood. And my husband, he said, hey, you know, you've been acting different. And then he acknowledged it. And then I was like, I didn't tell him that, but I was like, wow, he's right. I noticed that, you know, so it does. You know, it works, and it helped me personally, you know, from going through that process. So I believe that it can benefit us all, you know, if we just submit, you know, to the process that we've been asked to submit to.
Well, praise be to Allah, dear sister. You have been acting different. You know, it's a great thing to know that your husband noticed the change. And I've heard, I haven't known anyone personally that have been opposed to Dianetics or what have you, but I think that as L. Ron Hubbard talks about how Dianetics can remove unreasonable fear. And I think about people that maybe are opposed to this technology because strange to them. They've never heard of it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, this world has such, you can see how this world has such a great influence on the mind of the people. I remember as a child, people would talk about, now I know him as Reverend Sun Young Moon, and they called his people Moonies. I remember that when I was a little boy. And hear how people would talk about those black Muslims, you know, but not even knowing anything about the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister, as taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And now you hear people that are fearful of something that can literally help change your mind, help remove that doubt from your mind, help remove that fear from your life that many of us, you know, we don't even know why we're afraid to be successful. You hear people say that all the time. People are afraid of success because we are, for the most part, something happened in our lives. We don't know what it is. We don't know why we are afraid to attempt great things. We don't know why, but we have such great strength that is recognized by other people, yet we always come to a point in life where we can't move, can't go forward. You know, and I know that Dianetics can help alleviate that problem altogether. And I myself, I remember I went to Ohio and was in Cleveland, and I was going to a Scientology Center, the Org, downtown Cleveland, every week. In fact, I was going twice a week because I knew I wasn't going to be in Cleveland for a long time, and I was trying to soak it up. But I even began to see change in my own personal life that was positive change. It's amazing when you can recognize things in your life that have held you back, and then you go through the process of auditing, and that diet, that engram begins to get smaller and smaller, and you actually laugh at what it is that you just discovered about yourself. So there's great power in Dianetics and what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is instructing us to do and asking us to go to, because it's not mandatory. I mean, hell, who doesn't want the blessing from the man of God himself except the fool? Take it and let it alone. But that's what you really make of yourself when you can't hear and obey these simple instructions. Now, we know, to our listening audience, we just want to set the base here a little bit more. We know we have questions in the chat room already and a few people on the line. We will be getting to you, and give us about 10, 15 more minutes. We're going to get right with you. Now, Brother Stanley, it was your ideal to have this discussion tonight. What is it, if I can ask you, that inspired you to want to discuss the benefits of Dianetics in marriage?
Well, because in marriages, as my wife and I have been counseling married couples for quite some time, most of the problems in the relationship derives from something that happened to a brother or sister, husband and wife, in the marriage when they was a child. And they never been relieved from it, although they're Muslims, although they're Christians, although they're believers in God. They still have these vices, still have these character flaws. And it affects every relationship, not just marriage, but business relationship, relationship with our fathers, our mothers, our neighbors, And I know that we're not going to be really one with each other as husband and wife until these impediments are removed. And God's servant, the Honorable Ms. Musparakan, will not lead us to something that will not make us better. And he led us to something that was divinely inspired and guided by the Lord of the worlds and his Christ to make us better. And I believe once these engrams or demons are removed from us, then we will become happy. We will experience the happiness and peace that we've been looking for all the days of our life, but along with our spiritual belief. It doesn't mean that Dianetics, like you said earlier, Dianetics is not our religion. We have a religion. Our religion is Islam. Your religion can be Christianity. Your religion can be Judaism. We're not practicing the religion of Scientology, but we're taking a technology that is a technology that would help us in our mental healing process. So that's why I wanted to talk about it, because I wanted to offer, with the help of Allah, to the listening audience who are struggling in their relationships, what the Honorable Ms. Musparakan offered to us. And I see the benefit in Dianetics for even me and my wife, who've been married for 24 years and been together for 25. I know when I got audited, you know, I didn't know certain things were bothering me until I went into the auditing process. And when I got finished being audited, I had the ability to do something that I normally was not able to do. I went on a spiritual diet for 6 months. I ate only 3 meals a week. I ate on Tuesdays. I ate on Thursdays and Sundays. I tried it before in the past. I did it for a couple months and then reverted back to eating 1 meal a day, fasting periodically. But after I was audited, this is the first time I was able to eat like that for 6 months straight without deviating. And in my third or fourth month, I said, wow, what has given me this ability, this willpower? And I said, oh, I've been going through Dianetics, and it's crazy, given me the power to do what I normally could not do. And I felt better. I felt like I was, I not felt, but I knew I was gaining mastery over certain things in my life. And so this is a powerful testimony. Many people have a hard time eating 1 meal a day. I had that hard time too.
That's right.
But here, this technology helped me become so disciplined that I ate 3 meals a week for 6 months and never deviated. And I noticed that I went back to eating 1 meal a day because I stopped auditing. Or I stopped going to, you know, getting audited, pardon me. You know, because, you know, you get your busy schedule and you say, well, I'll do it later, and I put it off. And the more I put it off, the more I started deviating from, thinking about deviating from that dietary law, and ultimately I did. And with the help of Allah, I have plans to become clear or released from all the engrams that's in my reactive bank. And that's a reactive bank is a part of your mind that stores all of these bad experiences because the mind records everything. It's like a video recorder that it never stops recording. Records everything. Nothing is left out. All of your life experiences is between your ears. And it's affecting us whether we know it or not in our decisions, in our lifestyle we choose. And there is a part of the brain that needs to be purified. And that is what we're talking about. The reactive mind must be purified because it is the root cause of our relationship arguments, our relationship, you know, domestic disputes, physical and verbal. And also, it is the root cause of divorces. And that's why I said I would like to talk about the reactive mind marriages and the reactive mind relationships that are causing a lot of our children to grow up unhappy. Because we refuse to look at that man and woman in the mirror, like MJ says, and make that change.
To a lot there, brother. And you know what? We're going to be talking about it tonight, and we want to hear from some questions in the chat room now. Our dear sister, though she's not feeling well, I think she's in, she told me earlier she would be in the hospital, but she will be opening up the phone lines. Anyone that have a question, please, I think you tap 1 to open up your phone line or raise your hand in the chat room, and our dear sister will be calling you out your last 4 numbers in your phone, of your phone number and area code, so you'll know when your mic is live, and we'll definitely take your question. So let's take a question now, dear sister, from the chat room, if you're still with us, the queen.
Yes, sir, I am. Can everybody hear me?
Absolutely, dear sister.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Alaikum salam.
Alaikum salam.
Okay, we have a question from Brother Tariq. He says, I am trying to understand how Dianetics helps you love, respect, honor, cherish, and obey your spouse. Is my wife not getting something right? That's his question.
Okay. We're going to let Sister Ruth take that question on, dear sister, if you can. Sister Queen, I don't know if it was just me. I could barely understand you. If you could you repeat what he asked again, please, ma'am?
Okay. Can you hear me all right now?
A little, yes, ma'am.
Okay, hold on a second.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Much better, sis. Yes.
Okay, that's my Bluetooth. Okay, Tariq says, I am trying to understand how Dianetics helps you love, respect, honor, and cherish and obey your spouse. Is my wife not getting something right? That's his question.
We would like Sister Ruth, if you don't mind, please tackle that question for us.
I heard the question, and the way that I understand it is that she's to me, it seems like she is in the Dianetics process. That's what it seems like, because he says she's not he don't know what she's not understanding or what she's getting. So what I would say is that Dianetics helps you know, when we study it and apply it, it helps. You know, I bear witness that it helps, you know, because it helped me. And I it's like, you know, like you have so much. I'm going to give an example. You know, you're a child, and you come from, you know, a family that's very abusive verbally, you know, physically, you know, you grow up being, you know, hit in the head when something, you don't do something's, you know, right, or maybe you make, you know, upset your parent and they hit you, or, you know, you do something wrong, or maybe you do something not according to how they like it. You know, you make a mistake and you drop a glass of water while you, you know, trying to take them a glass of water, and they say, oh, you no good. You know, they use profanity, no good, such and such. You no good for nothing. You know, why, you know, why do I have to keep, you know, asking you to do this when, you know, you're no good for nothing. And so as a child, you're hearing all these negative things that are being said to you, and those things cause you pain. You know, that hit in the head caused you pain. You know, it was an accident. I dropped a glass of water. It was an accident, but they don't see the accident. They just see the cause. So now, you know, they're abusing you even though it was an accident. So now you're walking around with this pain in your heart that someone, you know, hit you, someone said some bad words to you, some, you know, hurtful, they use hurtful speech, and it hurts. So, but now nobody ever apologizes. No one ever atones for that. So you're here, you're 5 years old, and you're walking around with that pain. So now you're 7 years old, and guess what? You do, you know, you at school, and you bring home a C. And here goes, you know, the same thing. You no good for nothing. You know, you always bringing this crap home. I'm sick of you and this, you know, not doing what you, you know, what you should be doing, or, you know, so all these negative, this hurtful speech again at 7 years old. But you still have the hurtful speech from when you were 5 years old. It never was removed. It's still there. So now you 13 and you experiencing, you know, trials in life, accidents, you know, different things as a teenager, and here comes the same people that, you know, say they love you. You know, use verbal abuse, physical abuse, because they've been abused. So now you still walking around with the 5-year-old, 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old pain, 13-year-old pain that was never done away with. So now you got all this pain bottled inside of you. How much can you love when you grow up as an adult and you walking around with all this pain bottled up in you? And when someone loves you, it's hard for you to love back, because people that said they loved you hurt you. So now, see, then that's the thing with the reactive mind, with the engram. It sees things in identity. It cannot differentiate, you know? Love, okay, my mom said she loved me, but she treated me this way. You know, you say you love me, so I'm expecting you to treat me this way, even though I don't like it. But because you say you love me, this is what I expect from you.
but I don't like it. So now, how do you know how to love? We love with that same abuse. So I remember one time my sister as a young, my mother was, she was abused by my father, physically abused for many years. And I remember my sister when she was a teenager, she was in an abusive relationship. This is before I even, you know, before I became a Muslim, before I even studied Dianetic. And she said to me, and I said, Elta, why, you know, you are with this guy. He don't love you. Look how he treats you. Look, you know, and this is what she said to me. She said, I know he loves me. I said, what? She said, you know how I know he loves me? Because he beats me. That's how I know he loves me. So in her mind, see, she was carrying my mother's engram. In her mind, it was because he was beating her that showed her that he loved her. She said that to me, and I could not believe it. You know, so, but now I understand why she made that irrational statement. So it's the same thing with this brother's wife, is that what has she went through in her life? What has she experienced? What abuse has happened to her that she does not know how to love, that she does not understand what love looks like? She does not know how to respond to real love. You know, and that's when we love someone. That's why the minister said, love, when you love someone, you suffer. And you suffer when you love that person, you willing to suffer for that person. That's why they said Jesus suffered for us, because he loved us. So he was willing to go through things that he didn't have to go through, but it was because of him redeeming us, it caused him to go through it. And that's the same thing with that sister. That brother, her husband, has to love her enough to suffer with her, to show her, to bring her out of that pain that she has experienced in her life. And the only way she's going to see it is by his suffering. See, it's the suffering that brings us closer together. When I see my husband, when he sees that I am in pain, or when I do things that are irrational and he don't give up on me, then I know he loves me. You know, I know he loves me because, you know, I did something to him that could cause him, you know, to hate me or to dislike what I do, you know. And you keep doing things to dislike, you know, to people that they dislike, it can turn to hate, you know. But I know that he loves me because he has suffered much with me because of those engrams. So I say to that brother is that he has to be patient with her. He has to pray for her, and he has to help her come out of that pain, and he has to show her what real love looks like, you know. And patience is really, you know, one of the things that you can show someone love by being patient with that person, you know. So that's what I would say to the brother.
Yes, ma'am. And thank you for that too, dear sister. As I was thinking on the question, I too was going to share with our brother that you have to be patient. You know, a lot of times when we're given something, we think that we're looking for immediate results. Nobody wants to suffer, Sister Ruth. You mentioned that. We don't like pain. Yet, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us in his study guide that it is through pain that we actually come to birth. So we have to be patient with our spouse. Use phrases like, how do one learns to love, honor, and respect? Well, that, to me, having to ask that type of question, that there is something deep-rooted in your spouse that you are unaware of. And maybe she's unaware of it, but if she continues and if she's listening and if she's not her brother, most certainly is listening, I pray that this sister continues to go to the auditing and continue to get audited, that problem, that ingram deeply rooted in her can come up and be dealt with, that she loves honor. But as Sister Ruth said, dear brother, you have to be tremendously patient with that process for your wife and show her greater love than you have ever shown. Not saying you don't love, because I'm sure you do, but greater love. Because as it says in the scriptures, love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering. Suffer with her because she does love you, because she married you. Brother Stanley, is there anything that you want to add to the in response to the brother's question?
Yes. I want to share with brother a few things from study guide number 18 that is in harmony with Dianetics. The minister actually defines really what love is. And a lot of times we say the word love, but we really don't know what it means. First, in the book of 1 John chapter 4, I think it's the 8th verse, the Bible says, God is love. What's on one side is equivalent to what's on the other side. That means love is God. So you can't say love without incorporating the principles of Almighty God, Allah, that he shares with us, the characteristics of God, have to be present in the relationship in order to say love. The minister said, love is the creative force out of which all things come. Love can be broken down into four principles: freedom, justice, equality, and obedience to the will of Allah God. Now, these are the principles of love. Now, it's very important that we understand when you love someone, you reflect the characteristics of God that will allow your spouse to freely live according to their nature without hindrance. Male has a nature. The female has a nature. And both male and female have the nature of God, which is righteousness. Both spouses have to make sure that you are not an impediment or a stumbling block to your spouse's freedom. And freedom in context means free to be what God intended for her to be, free to allow that man to be what God intended for him to be, justice, which means fair dealing, as we're taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You have to be fair. You have to know that your wife has rights. The man, your husband, has rights. And the Holy Quran in chapter 4, the first section, it says, O you who believe, keep your duty to your Lord by whom you demand one another your rights. Every human need is a human right. And every human being, Brother Kadeem, Brother Tariq, needs love.
That's right.
But you got to understand what love is. You can't say you love your wife and she can't be free to be herself because she's paying the bills. That's not freedom.
That's oppression because it's not her nature to go out there to be the breadwinner. It's the man's nature to be the provider and protector of his wife and children. So here you are hindering her. See? In that way, it's a hindrance. When the man abuses his wife, verbally and physically, because if you were to protect her, how are you now assaulting your wife when she's born to be protected? See, these are the four principles that we have to examine ourselves. That's why I say, like Michael Jackson, he said that so beautifully. We got to take a look at the man in the mirror and make that change, but we know that dissatisfaction brings about change. If you're not dissatisfied by being a nigger, you're not going to make that change to be a god.
That's right, brother.
We're going to be so unsatisfied being a nigger, accepting being a bum as a man, what we call a man. That's not no man.
Come on.
You laying on a woman to take care of you? That's not no man. That's not no man to verbally abuse his wife, physically abuse his wife, verbally abuse your husband. He's taking care of you, but you want to talk nasty to him? That's not no woman. You kill his manhood because a man has a right to be respected if he's being the man in the home. But you say, I can't help myself. I keep trying, but I keep reverting back to the Negro. That means you have an ingram that needs to be removed. Because obviously what you're doing ain't working.
Come on, brother.
And he is a man that God raised for our salvation. And every man of God that God raised for the people's salvation, you always had those who rejected him. They rejected Noah. They rejected Lot. Huh? They rejected Moses and Aaron. It was the Lord of the worlds who created them from sperm and ovum. He made the sperm, created the sperm and the ovum, and evolved them through the three trimesters, brought them from their mother's womb, nurtured them off their mother's breast, fed them from the fruits and vegetables and everything God created. And you got a nerve to say that you're going to reject God's guidance from a man who he raised for your own salvation? How dare us be so arrogant? Here, Farrakhan is a man that was raised by the Lord of the world and his Christ for our salvation, and he's telling us this is a part of your salvation, Dianetics, and here you are saying, I know better. But you still ain't making any progress. So I say this to say, brother, that if your wife and yourself are experiencing the same problems, most times problems repeat themselves in our life because we have not yet learned. The only reason I keep being retained to the third grade because I have not yet learned the subject matters in the third grade, because I will go to the fourth grade and be bewildered.
Yes.
So I would say that you can't half-step with Dianetics and expect it to work. You know?
Absolutely.
Just like anything you do, you can't half-step with Islam and expect it to work. So I would just say, in on that note, there's a lot more I can say, but I don't want to take up too much time on this one subject. If I can say this, is very important from the minister.
You can,
God, number 18. He speaks about where emotions comes from. Study God number 18. Listen to what he says. And this is what most of what we deal with, Brother Kadeem, in relationships, the emotions. Is what clouds our judgment. And when our judgment is clouded by emotions, that's when irrationality kicks in. Listen to what our father said. The brain is not only an organic or organ of intelligence or intellect and logic, pardon me, it's also the source of emotion. Emotions are brought to life in what is known as the limbic system. The limbic system is a collection of parts that constitute approximately 20% of the brain's area. The forces of pride, fear, joy, grief, anger, lust, hatred, envy, jealousy arise from this region of our brain. Now, this is a very important region of our brain. 20% of our brain consists of the limbic system. And this is the part of the brain, Brother Kadeem, that pride comes out of.
Yes,
and isn't that a major problem in our relationship, pride?
Absolutely.
I ain't going to listen to you, nigga. Who you think you are? Uh-huh. You my goddamn daddy. Well, you ain't my mama.
Yes, sir.
Then fear kicks in. Is he going to leave me? Is she going to leave me? Fear what's going to happen. The children fear when they see their parents argue. The joy comes from this area. Grief comes from this area. Anger comes from this area. Lust is a big one. That's what causes, like we talked about last week, infidelity. Lust.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Sometimes that's what is the cause, the motive of our relationship. Lust.
Yes, sir.
It's not always love. The minister said the motive why we come together determines how long the relationship will last.
Come on.
Hatred. I hate that nigga. He make me sick. Why? But he ain't let me get my way. She ain't let me get my way. Envy, jealousy arise from this region of the brain. But check this out. The limbic system is found surrounding the most primitive part of the brain and is found in almost the same form in mammals. That means this part of the brain is so primitive, so undeveloped, that this 20% of the brain with all these emotions we just talked about is similar to what you find in animals. So here we are acting like animals towards each other.
That's right.
We're not responding based upon mathematics and intellect. We are letting the emotions dictate our decisions.
Come on, brother.
Then the minister says, it is that part of man that is hardly distinguishable from, he said, from the beast.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So here, brother, this bears witness to what Dianetics is talking about. And
yes,
here L. Ron Hubbard agrees with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He said the source of aberrations has been found to be here too, unsuspected submind, which complete with its own recordings, underlines what man understands to be his conscious mind. The concept of unconscious mind is replaced in Dianetics by the discovery that the unconscious mind is the only mind which is always conscious. In Dianetics, the submind is called the reactive mind. Sub means under. Okay? It's below. It's at the bottom. And if you look at the limbic system, the bottom, there's the top of the limbic system, and there's the bottom. And the bottom is called the hypothalamus, which all of where the minister's talking about, where these emotions come from, that causes all of the sex drive, lust, pleasure, all this come from this hypothalamus, which is below at the bottom of the limbic system. And that's why God says, my thoughts are from above, while yours is from what?
Above.
Below.
Me. That's That's right.
The hypothalamus, greed, lust, hatred, strife, contention. And here, this is what L. Ron Hubbard's saying. The submind, the below mind, is where the reactive mind is. Do you understand what I'm saying? So here, what is under this submind? Is in the Bible, it's called Leviathan. Leviathan, you can find it in the book of Job, chapter 3, verse 8, Psalms, chapter 74, verse 14, and Job, chapter 41, verse 1. And Leviathan means to be confused and twisted. Hear me out now. Confused and twisted. And the Bible says God is not author of, God is the author of peace, and Satan is the author of confusion. And so L. Ron Hubbard says in Dianetics, it is not untrue that where one finds the greatest controversy, there he will also find the least comprehension. I'll say that again. It is not untrue that where one finds the greatest controversy, there he will also find the least comprehension. Comprehension means understanding. That's why we misunderstand each other, because Satan keeps us in confusion. And the Holy Quran agrees in Surah 50, verse 5, it says, rejecting truth puts us in confusion. Why would you reject the truth that the Honorable Minister Farrakhan found a technology that will help us overcome the demons in our submind or the Leviathan and uproot that Leviathan and crush that confusion, crush that controversy, and bring us into understanding?
Same brother.
It's us rejecting him. And when we throw him out of our mind, we have thrown our salvation out. And so it says, a holdover from the earliest step in man's evolution. The reactive mind possesses vigor and command power on a cellular level. It does not remember. I'll say that again. It does not remember. You can't remember what have happened to you of traumatic experience. Everything that happened to your mother while she was pregnant with you, you have been ill affected. I have been ill affected. You don't remember that, but it's been recorded. And it's affecting you to this very day. I don't care if you're 40. I don't care if you're 50. I don't care if you're 60. I don't care if you're 100 years old. You still have to purify yourself from those experiences, or you'll always be a puppet controlled by the engrams in the reactive mind.
Praise be to Allah, dear brother.
He says it records and uses the recordings only to produce action. It does not think. It selects recordings and impinges them upon the conscious mind and the body without the knowledge or consent of the individual. The only information the individual has of such action is his occasional perception that he is not acting rationally about one thing or another and cannot understand why there is no censor. The reactive mind operates exclusively on physical pain and painful emotion. It is not capable of differentiating thought, but it acts on a stimulus-response basis. This is what animals do. See, he's bearing witness to what the minister's saying. And so you got number 18. When we get emotional, we respond on a stimulus-response basis. We're stimulated by how they make me feel. I don't like what she said. And so, therefore, we respond with emotional reaction. Not with intellect, not with rationality. And when we respond on a stimulus basis, Brother Kadeem, that's an engram.
Yes, sir.
That's how you know anything irrational. When you do irrational things, you know you are now being a puppet and controlled by an engram. Now it's a demon in you, and we need an exorcism.
That's
so
right.
I think I talked a lot, and I don't want to take up too much time. But I do want to just stop right there and allow you to
comment on anything I said so far, my wife, what she said.
Yes, sir, Brother Stanley. Thank you, too, dear brother. And we hope that, dear brother, that asked that question found an answer to his question. And what we want to do is most certainly, Sister Queen, get another question out of the chat room. We know we have a lot of questions there. And maybe even perhaps another person or someone calling in that may have a question for our panel this evening.
Yes, sir. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we can hear you, Sister Queen.
Okay. I just want to remind the listening audience, I had to refresh my screen. So if you have a question and you're calling by phone, press 1 on your dial pad. And the next question comes from Kelly. She says, my husband was an abused child, and I asked him to get counseling before we have children. Will Dianetics be a better suggestion?
Well, what we're going to do with that, this is because I think with having both Brother Stanley and Sister Ruth having completed the Dianetics, I have taken and I haven't completed. So we want to defer to Brother Stanley for that particular question, which is a great question, because now you're talking about comparisons here, Brother Stanley, Dianetics versus counseling, Brother Stanley.
Well, Dianetics is something that I would recommend than traditional counseling, because Dianetics is a science, and science is rooted in mathematics, and mathematics is precise. Counseling is not always precise because it's not rooted in mathematics in most cases. This is a more accurate knowledge of science of how the mind operates. And the what you call counselor is not called a counselor in Dianetics. He's called an auditor. An auditor is one who listens to the PC. In this case, your husband will be the PC of pre-clear. Why we say pre-clear? Because he's not yet cleared from that which happened to him in his childhood that's causing him to act irrational. And the auditor's job is not necessarily to go to those experiences in his late years. That's not really the root cause. The worst engrams are the ones from 2 years and under. And the objective of the auditor is to go to that basic engram, that first engram, that's really linked up to all the other engrams. They're the connection to all of them. But the foundation of it is way back in your mother's womb. And that's the objective, is to go to the root cause of what your husband is suffering from. And that skillful auditor knows exactly how to do it. Now, there's certain things in auditing you will learn. There's command phrases, like, for example, let me give you an example. If you was a child, when you was a child and your father said, boy, you better sit your butt right there and get up, don't you move. And the poor young boy is terrified by his father. Now, the mind is designed on survival. And whatever surviving person in that experience, oftentimes you take on the characteristic of the one who is the most dominating and the one who prevails in that experience. So
So in that command, stay right there, and the boy is terrified, stays right there. He grows up taking on the characteristics of his father. And then that's what we call a holder, right there. And then he's older. So I might say, John, stay right there until I get back. And then he gets re-stimulated. He don't know why he feels like, I don't want to go. And your wife say, come on, go to the movies with me. I don't want to go. I'm going to stay right here. Man, my husband born. He don't want to do nothing. He all want to stay home. But then there's a part of your mind that's called the analytical mind is never wrong. And that's where that part of the mind justifies what the reactive mind is causing him to respond like. Staying right there. Oh, I'm staying right here because I'm not going out there with you. You know, we might get robbed or something. You know, it's nighttime, you know, and you heard what just happened on the news. He's justifying it. He justifies irrational behavior because he don't know why he wants to stay home. But because a little boy, his dad told him, boy, you better stay right there and don't get up. And he's still following that very command. And that's why most of us don't make progress in our life because we got holders. And that's why we said, man, I ain't seen you in 10 years and you ain't changed a bit. That's a holder.
Praise the Lord.
So if I would say yes, Dianetics is more precise, and I would recommend that over traditional counseling.
Praise be to God. Thank you very much, too, Brother Stanley, for that.
Thank you, sir.
Sister Ruth. And before, Sister Ruth, we definitely want you to answer. Sister Queen, if I recall correctly, she counseling or Dianetics before they have children, is that what she asked?
Yes, sir. Before they have children, yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, dear sister. Sister Ruth, you want to chime in on that one for us, please, ma'am?
Yes, sir. Definitely. That would be a blessing to, you know, be audited before you have children so, you know, your children won't carry that same ingrown, you know, because ingrowns are, you know, passed through the children. And, like, right here, I'm going to read something that L. Ron Hubbard said. He said, a child, even if, hold on, let me see. A child, even if he despises them, will dramatize the actions of his parents when he himself is married and when he himself has children. In addition to this, the other partner in the marriage also has his or her own engram. Their engrams combine into double engrams in the children. So right there, he's telling you that when we carry that, you know, as parents, we pass it on to our children, then they carry it, you know, and someone has to stop the cycle. So, yes, I definitely recommend that they get audited before they have children so they can, you know, be blessed to have children that does not carry their engrams.
Well, praise be to Allah, sister. And I can see with what you're saying how the scripture says the sins of the parents that carry over to the children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can pass on our behavior, immoral, illegitimate behavior on to our children, and they don't even know why they act the way they act. So thank you, dear sister, for that. We want to get quite a bit of participation tonight. I think last week we did have a lot of callers, and I don't like to think that people are calling and listening to the show and feel like they're not getting answers, questions answered. So, Sister Queen, if we got a phone call in or another question from the chat room, come on, because we're talking about healing marriage.
Yes, I agree. There are so many people on the phone, And I don't know why they're not asking questions, but usually it's because their questions are being answered. So I'm going to land back off of you, Brother Kadeem, and encourage the callers to press one on their dial pads and ask the questions that are prevalent to you and your marriage, or even if you're just thinking about getting married, how Dianetics can benefit you prior to going into that relationship. But we got so many questions in the chat room. I'm trying to keep up. But
we have another
question from, well, his screen name is Ross27, and he says, can Dianetics make the desire one has for his or her spouse come back?
Great question. We'll start with our sister Ruth. Do you think that Dianetics can bring back the fire, the desire for one spouse?
Yes, sir. I believe that. And, you know, I think we all go through it in marriage, you know, when we have, you know, our disappointment and, you know, when you all emotional, you know, bent out of shape emotionally, you know, you don't think about you love that person. You're allowing your emotions, you know, to get the best of you. So instead of desiring that person, you want to stay away from that person. You know what I'm saying? Because at that time, they made you angry, they made you mad, you know, they said something you didn't like. So your emotions are all, you know, they're not in tune with you. So it causes you, you know, and also with those, you know, and it, like we talked about how the parents' ingrams will transfer onto the children, and the, you know, the sins of the parent will visit their children. And it goes like that as well because, you know, of ingrams that you already have added with the ones you know, are receiving, you know, will cause you not to desire your spouse based upon your emotions, you know. So I think that when you get those emotions removed, yes, that desire, you will see the beauty in your spouse. You will see, you know, the good in them. You will see, you know, everything that is right with them, their nature, you know. It will help you see that, so then you will desire them. So, yes, I experienced it, and, you know, it does help. You know, it helps us to rise above emotions and see the beauty in that person. So, yes, I bear witness that it works. So I believe it will work for them.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you very much, dear. Sister, for that. Brother Stanley, come on and chime in with us on that, brother. Do you think, answer that question, dear brother, if you don't mind. Excuse me one second, too, while you're answering it.
Yes, I agree with my wife 1,000%. In the Dianetics, there is a case called, in under the section called a problem in a re-stimulated case, where it speaks about a man who was going through auditing, and he was married, and they were having marital problems, and it's in the book of L. Ron Hubbard called Dianetics: The Modern Science of Mental Health, on page 450 and 451. And I just wanted to share with us what it says real briefly. It says, and this is a real case. It says, G was cleared in 10 months of sporadic sessions. His case had the initial diagnosis of non-sonic, non-visual pain and emotional shutoff, permanent light trance, permanent regressions at the age of 3. This is to say that the instant he went into reverie, he was startled and frightened to find himself in a dental chair, 3 years old and having a tooth pulled. The ingram in which he had been situated unknowingly about half of his ensuing life. This means that this man, he was cleared in 10 months. He had no ingrams in the ingram bank. He reaches optimum in all four dynamics. And there's four dynamics that can be ill affected by ingram. That's self, sex, which is dealing with procreation, family, and humanity. And that's another story in itself. I mean, not story, but another teachings in itself of Dianetics and understanding of you have to find out where your spouse is suffering most of the ingrams on what dynamics. And a skilled auditor will be able to find out this problem. But here in this man is finding out that at 3 years old that he was suffering on the second dynamic. And he was able to go return back to this time where he's having a teeth pulled. And he didn't even know what was going on at that time, but the auditor was able to take him back that he can experience it all over again. And he had been the partial cause of his chronic tooth decay and his inability to sleep as negation against the anesthesia. The situation was obviously since he immediately began to wrestle about and lips, which condition was instantly remedied by running the ingram so that he could come to present time, which he did. Now, a lot of his insomnia was caused by this anesthesia, and he had a lips in his speech. And this all was caused by what happened to him when he was 3 years old. He never knew it. But the auditor was able to take him back to that experience and erase it. Now, it's going to go into relationships in just a second. He had considerably a difficult time in life, was a high dynamic by manifested apathy. It was discovered after 75 hours, at which time release took place, that his wife was sometimes his pseudo-grandmother, and also by Abby Valence was his pseudo-mother. As his sympathy computation demanded that he be ill so that his grandmother would stay with him, as his contra survival ingrams demanded that his mother was only nice to him when he was ill. The reactive computation added up to the fact that he must be ill continually, which demand had been obeyed by his body for 23 years. All this was recovered and remedied, of course, only by reducing ingrams. The eraser began to take place at the end of about 200 hours of therapy and was preceded when the case suddenly stopped all progress. For 50 or more hours of therapy, few ingrams could be located. Those which were located could not be reduced. No painful emotion could be reached, and whatever ingrams were reached and reduced were located and treated only because the auditor, in this case, used highly skilled forcing techniques, which are almost never necessarily and should not be employed save in psychotic cases. Such endeavor had not been necessary at the beginning of the case. Something was obviously wrong. On close questioning, it was discovered that G's wife was violently opposed to Dianetics. She never lost any chance of leveling the most scathing attacks against to G, and particularly when he was in the company of friends. She derided him as being psychotic. She sought a lawyer to give him her a divorce. She sought a lawyer to give her a divorce, announcing it after he had entered therapy, but actually having had continually consultation on it with a lawyer for 2 years past, and generally agitated and disturbed G to such an extent that he was continuously receiving painful emotional engrams even though he did not display any emotions against her. They had a child 9 years of age, a boy. G was very fond of the boy. The child had had an unusual number of childhood illnesses and suffered from eye trouble and chronic sinuses. He was backward in school. The wife was sometimes somewhat sharp with the child. Anything he did made her nervous. The auditor in this case, on learning the facts about her attitude towards her husband in general and Dianetics in particular, held a conference with her about her husband. She was found to be unopposed to therapy for herself. Shortly after the conference, G and this woman had a brief quarrel in which G made the remark that she must be aberrated. She took intense affront at this and said that he must be the one who was crazy since he was interested in Dianetics. Now, here's an argument going back and forth. You know, she's called him crazy. Now he's saying you're crazy. But really the reason why he's attracted to her is because she is like his pseudo-grandmother. She has characteristics of her, and this is actually something that what you call a sympathy engram, which is the worst engram, and also pseudo-mother. Now this is what's causing the attraction. And this was causing him to be ill for 23 years because his grandmother used to always give him attention when he was ill, and this is what he sought for from his wife. So he stayed ill just to get this attention. I know it's taking a little time, but this is very important because a lot of times we want to just skip over this aspect of technology and how the mind works. You know, we want a quick answer and go to the next question, but I think that the believers and the community deserves to understand that these are real cases I'm reading. This is a real case, and this can be applicable to so many people. Mm-hmm. You know, I want you to listen to this controversy here and how it plays out so beautifully. This is a real case. She took intense affront at this and said that he must be the one who was crazy since he was interested in Dianetics. He countered with the fact that of the two, he must be the least aberrated since he was taking steps to do something about it. Further, he pointed out that she must be aberrated or she would not be as quarrelsome with the child as she was, a fact which definitely indicate that she must have a block on her second dynamic, which is sex. Whenever you have a problem with your child and you're mistreating your child, you're abusing your child, that's what you call the second dynamic, which is sex, which is dealing with your children. And if you're not treating them, there is a problem with your spouse on that dynamic. There's an engram there. And you have to find to auditing where that engram is so she can be relieved or he can be relieved from it. But in this case, she had a problem on the second dynamic with her child, and it's going to tell why. Check this out. The following day, he came home from work and found she had withdrawn the money from the bank account, says the queen, and gone to another town, taking the boy with her. Good God. He followed and found her staying with some of her relatives. And guess what she was telling the relatives for the Kadeem? She had told them that he beat her and had gone so crazy that he had to have therapy. All this man was so cool, so calm, never laid a hand on him. But this is what she told the relatives. The truth of the matter was that he had never touched her brutally in his life. In this meeting before witnesses, she began to rave and revile any system of psychiatry which believe in pre-speech memory. He pointed out to her that many schools of the past had believed in pre-speech memory,
that the whole background of psychiatry had long talked about memories of the wound without knowing what they were and so forth. Her relatives, seeing him so calm about it, forced her to return home with him. En route, she made a dramatic gesture, although in no way threatened, of committing suicide by leaping out of the car. The auditor in the case had a private conversation with her on her return. He had somewhat belatedly deduced the fact that there was something in her life which she was afraid her husband would find out, and that, confronted with a science which could recover all memory, she had become wildly emotional about it. She at length admitted, under close questioning, that this was the case, that her husband must never know. She was so disturbed that the auditor, with her consent, gave her a few hours of therapy. It was instantly discovered that her husband had many times threatened to kill her mother, that her father had not wanted her. Further, it was found that her father's name was Q, and that her Ingram bank was strewed with remarks such as, Q, please don't leave me. I would die without you. Additionally, when she was no longer in session, she suddenly volunteered what was to her a hysterically humorous fact that all her life she had been having affairs with men named Q, no matter what their shape or size or age. This was far from a release, but in view of the fact that his other patient, G, was jeopardized by all this unnecessary hubbub and that therapy was being stalled, the auditor further questioned her. She divulged that she had tried many times to abort their son because she was terribly frightened that he would be a blonde, whereas she and her husband had dark hair. Further, the engrams of that child she knew contained data which she considered incriminating beyond mere abortion. While pregnant, she had had intercourse with three men other than her husband. The auditor pointed out to her that this guilt feeling, no matter how real, was still engrammic in her, and that it was doubtful if her husband would kill her on receipt of these tidings. He told her that she was condemning a child to a second-rate existence and that she was reducing her husband to apathy by her fears and causing the auditor far more work than was necessary. In her husband's and the auditor's presence, she confessed her infidelity and learned with some amazement that her husband had known about it for years. He had not known about her attempts on their child. She was requesting study a therapy manual clearing the child, which her husband helped, and she did, and the auditor G on to clear, and who then cleared his wife. So here, this is the case, and thank you for allowing me to read this. I know it was a little long, but it's important. This is a real case where this husband and wife were in controversy, and the child was being abused all because she, as a child, was suffering from how her father treated her mother. And as a result, she took on these fears that her mother had, that, you know, she had to do everything to keep the father in her life. And so she developed that engram, and she always sought to be with a man that reminded her of her father. And that's why she had different affairs with these men. And this is what was causing her adultery. It was not necessarily that she was a bad woman, but it was because she actually was re-dramatizing her mother's fears and aberrations. And she was acting so hysterical about her husband getting treatment because she didn't want her husband to know, to find out about her adulterous affairs. But he already knew. And she was so mean towards her son because
she thought that that son was a result, or the son was a result of an adulterous affair, and she didn't want the husband to find out, and she really was guilty. It was a guilt abuse. So what am I saying? They got cleared, and when they got cleared, their relationship was happy, joyous. And I believe that any one of us go through this auditing technique or science, we will all find the same thing. We'll find out that the real problem we have is not with our spouse, it's with the engram that was embedded in them in the mother's womb or through their childhood. That's what we're warring against. We're warring with that demon in that reactive mind, but we say, that nigga ain't no good, or that woman ain't no good. I'm sick of her. I'm sick of him. But really, you're really looking at sometimes your wife in the valence of her mother or her grandmother, your husband in the valence of his father or grandfather. And if they go through the technology, you will meet your real husband. You will meet your real wife, because you've probably been there with them for 18, 20 years and you have not met them yet. You have been living with their mother and their father all your life, and you thought it was your wife. You thought it was your husband, and you really don't know. They're buried under the bad experiences that you have to get through to find your real spouse. That's what I wanted to say.
Praise be to Allah, Brother Stanley. Most certainly, as Brother Stanley shared with us, sometimes we think we're going to get a very simple answer when you can get a lot of information to clarify the answer that it is that you actually are looking for, that who it is that we're actually living with, and then what we have to go through to get to the point of finding the man, finding the woman that we are in love with. And even in short, with my answer to that question, I believe that if we are patient enough to the process, because there are two people here, that if we are patient enough with this process, most certainly, if there's any, can be reignited. So all praises are due to Allah. I have a question, if I can, before we go to the next caller or next question out of the chat room. At what age, if we already have a couple who know they suffer with engram and now they have children who they believe, or it's possible their children will be affected by their engram, at what age should a child be audited?
Yes, sir. As early as 5 years old, they can be audited.
As early as five?
Yes, sir.
And a friend of mine asked me about that when we were talking about this today, and I'll make sure I pass that information on. But Sister Queen, what else do you have for us in the chat room or on the phone lines? And we want to encourage all of our listeners, please call in with your questions. If you wish to remain anonymous, please, you can type your question in the chat room, because we really, really, really want to help strengthen families and strengthen marriages. Remember, this is nation building.
Yes, sir. Okay. We're going to take a call from Washington, D.C., area code 202. Your mic is now live. Area code 202, your mic is live. Okay, go on.
All right, let's move on. They fell asleep in D.C.
Okay, and area code 706, your mic is live.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, my question is, well, it actually is involving a child. How do you keep a child from getting an engram when it comes to situations such as disciplining a child, being that pain is involved?
Yes, sister, before you hang up, if you don't mind,
What is your name?
And my name is.
Go ahead.
My name is Sister Leilani X from Augusta, Georgia.
Yes, ma'am. Cue this, sister.
Yes, sir.
All right. Brother Stanley, you want to tackle that one for us? How do you prevent it? Can you prevent your child from getting an engram from being disciplined?
Well, the first thing we're taught by the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, to never discipline your child when you're angry, first and foremost. Then secondly, you have to make sure that you're being just with your child in the disciplinary actions. Administer justice, which is being fair in terms of what the child done wrong, and the discipline actions have to be reasonable. You have to make sure that the child knows that they was wrong. You have to explain to that child what they did wrong. And before they did it, they knew it was wrong. That's very important. So educating your children right from wrong is very important. Everything's not cut and dry, right and wrong. So you as a parent have to know that what you're disciplining your child on, they knew before they engaged in the behavior they were wrong. Then when you discipline your child, you have to make sure that you're not talking to them when you're disciplining them. Didn't I tell you, don't you do that no more? Do you hear me? When you're doing that,
right, that's right.
The pain and the words put together is creating an engram with command phrases.
Right.
See? Everything you're saying to your child when you're disciplining them with corporal punishment, which in truth, L. Ron Hubbard is against corporal punishment, but we believe what the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. But even there's a way you do it that would prevent an engram, but it would actually stimulate more behavior. So when you're disciplining them, you don't want to talk when you're disciplining them, because these become command phrases. You know, didn't I tell you don't do that anymore? So then that becomes what you call a bouncer, which didn't I tell you don't do that anymore? It can be something positive. But the reactive mind doesn't know anything positive. See, you might be doing something with your company as a man on the way to success, and then one of your clients might say, didn't I tell you don't do that anymore? You might have done something of a mistake, and you might not have understood the client, and that might have caused you to not even distance yourself from the client and stop servicing the client. You might say, I'm not going to service that client no more because of that command phrase. And that loses, you can lose your client. That's just a little example of how powerful those command phrases can ill affect our children, not only in their childhood, but even in their adulthood. And then you have to go back and erase that emotional and physical painful experience. So that's when you discipline them, you know, that's those are the steps you want to go through. But if you have to use corporal punishment, which we know sometimes that's necessary, you don't want to, you know, use words, which develop into command phrases. That's the guidance I would give my sister.
Praise be to Allah, dear brother. Thank you very much for that. And
praise
thank our caller, dear sister, out of Augusta, Georgia, home of James Brown, for your question. Listening to the program. Any other questions, dear Sister Queen?
We want to try to get as many in as we can. I know a couple of people that I know that I personally invited to listen to the show felt like they couldn't get their questions answered. We're trying to get you in tonight.
Okay. We have a question from Lynn. Excuse me. Lynn wants to know, can Dianetics help you fall in love again, or will it only help you understand why love faded?
Why love is what?
Why love, excuse me, why love faded?
Why the love faded. Yes, ma'am. Sister Ruth, you want to knock that one out? We're going to take advantage of our panel tonight. Sister Ruth, you still there? You still with us there, sister?
I'm sorry, it was on mute.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. To answer the sister's question, yes, you will fall in love again. And it's like, you know, when you if you experience rape, and it's a very traumatic experience when you go through that, because you know it's like you don't really know how to love someone, or you really don't experience love, and when you go through the process of being cleared, it helps you remove that engram that's holding you back from loving, you know, someone, that man, you know. It removes that pain, because it's really the pain that someone caused you that's stopping you from falling in love. And when that pain is removed, and it's because that's not your nature, you know. When you start off with Genesis in the Bible, it talks about, you know, Allah's creation and how Allah created men in his likeness and his image. And, you know, he gave man power over everything. And then he said it's not good for man to be alone. So God gave man a woman. So it is your nature to love. Allah put that in your creation. So if you cannot love man, if you cannot love that man that looks like, that is in the image of God, then you know that it's not right. Then you have to go back and look at what has happened to you to cause you not to love the man that looks like God, or that is in the image of God, you know. So, yes, when you go through that process of being, you know, of being clear, it will help you to come out of all those emotions that you are experiencing that are not natural, you know, because by nature, all of us, we need to be loved, and we have, and it's also in us to love, you know. So it does help, sister.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, Brother Kadeem.
Well, thank you very much, dear sister. I apologize. I was on mute. I thought I wasn't, and I was just talking. But that was definitely a great answer to that question. And what we want to do here, let's keep moving through more questions, and we're going to come right to you, Brother Stanley, on our next question from the chat room or on the phone line. Sister Queen, if you have another one.
Yes, this will probably going to be the last one. Michael has, Michael is sharing with us. He says, how can we make marriage not feel like we are in a rut? I have tried doing new things, taking long weekends, etc., but I just get tired of coming home, looking at my spouse, with little to no conversation. I am not angry with her, nor is she with me. We are just bored with one another. My wife, Zora, is also listening. Okay, y'all have it.
Yes, that is a great question. I'm that's a very interesting question. And Brother Stanley, I'm gonna definitely let you chime in on that and handle or deal with that particular question.
Okay. Well, you know, the problem is when you have a spouse that's trying to do all he can to get his wife to be more sociable, and she's not. No anger involved, and it sounds like in Dianetics it's called emotional painful shutoff. And see, when you have emotional painful shutoff, that's what you call that this person might have experienced possibly an engram that involved anesthesia. It makes you numb. It makes you, you know, irresponsive. And so a lot of times you can't put your finger on it as a spouse. Why is my wife acting this way? Because she can't put her finger on it. Because it's a hidden experience. Mm-hmm. And sometimes engrams, my brother, they lie dormant. And then something after 10 years keys it in, and then here they start dramatizing the engram. And they don't understand, why do I feel this way? Why am I acting this way? It's irrational not to talk to someone that loves you. Does that make sense? You're happy to see someone? You ever notice when you were a boyfriend, girlfriend, you found someone that you liked, and you remember you stay on the phone for an hour, 2 hours, even you might even fall asleep on the phone with that person.
Yeah.
And just, you know, wake up with that phone in your hand early in the morning for hours just talking. This is because you're interested in this person. You want to be with this person. This is the attraction. This is the love. But sometimes we go through experiences in the marriage, in the relationship, that you hurt your spouse, right? And then when you hurt your spouse becomes so hurt that trust sometimes is destroyed. And when you don't trust your spouse because he hurt me and he did this to me or she did this to me, I don't trust him. And when you don't trust, guess what? You stop loving. You stop loving. Love and trust, they're intertwined. See? How can you love someone you don't trust? See? And the more you trust someone, the more you love them. But when you hurt your spouse, or your spouse feels abandoned by an experience or betrayed by experience, it causes them to sometimes shut down. Doesn't mean they have to be angry all the time. But they become numb. They become insensitive to your efforts of trying to re-stimulate
the relationship. And it sounds like there's a degree of ingratitude there, because if you've taken time off so you can spend the weekend and, you know, she's still irresponsive, then that is showing that there's some problem there, that she's not expressing, you know, that maybe she can't express. It could be something that she knows, you know, because if it's something that might be going on that she's not expressing, or it might be something she doesn't know. But I need the feedback, you know. I wish it was on the phone so I could ask more questions, but it's, you know, like, why is she not talking? You know, she might say, the reason why I'm not talking is such and such and so. You see, he ain't talking to me. I ain't talking to him. I felt the same way. you know, you never know. See, that's why we have to dialogue, because the more you dialogue, the more you understand. So Brother Anthony said something, but it just really, I'm still shooting in the dark, because there's two sides to a story. And there's no one all the way right or all the way wrong in no relationship. Everyone has enough guilt to go around in a marriage or a relationship. But I just really need to know more information to give them further guidance. That's how I would answer that.
And thank you very much, okay, Brother, for your answer.
Brother Stanley, Brother Michael says that it's both of them. They say they just bored with one another.
Well,
wow.
I mean, okay, let me ask you, why did they get married? See, the minister said the motive of why you come together determine how long the relationship will last.
That's right.
Sometimes you got to understand, if it's not love, Sister Queen, if it's not real love, it's, you know, the physical is short-lived. You see? But love, there's no end to love. If God is love, then God is infinite. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love never fails. So they have to really go back to what was our motive to get together. And then they got to begin to start seeing God in each other, to start loving each other. See? Do you see God in your husband?
Mm.
Well, wait a minute. Do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. Okay. Well, the Bible says God made a man in his image and after his own likeness. Now, can you see any characteristic of God in your husband? Of course you can. Then that's what you need to tell him, that you love about him. And when your wife tells you a characteristic she loves about you, you need to do more of it. And then when she tells you what she don't love about you, you need to stay away from it. And vice versa with you, sister. Ask him, what do you love about me? See? And then whatever he tells you he loves about you, that's a characteristic of God, do more of it. And what don't you love about me? And then once he tells you that, don't do that at all, or do less of it.
That's right.
And so here you'll start seeing the love grow, because you're allowing God to grow in each other. You nurture that love, but you got to go back. And then you got to make sure that you ain't got no other man in your life and in your heart. Mm-hmm. That's important too. Because if you're doing less conversation with him, you might be doing more conversation with somebody else. That's a possibility.
That's right.
And same thing with the man. See? So you got to make sure you have no interference in your relationship because of so-called boredom. Because boredom, a lot of times, you're taking each other for granted.
You're not appreciating
right.
each other because you're not appreciating God.
That's right.
You breathe in the oxygen of God's wonderful, you know, atmosphere. Do you say thank you, God, when you wake up? So when the last time you prayed and thanked them together? Because a family that prays together stays together. Thank you, God, for this wonderful sun, this wonderful sunny day. Now I can get my vitamin D. 90% of vitamin D comes from the sun. I met this pastor. He said he thought he had prostate cancer. He had similar symptoms of it. But the doctor said, no, you have a vitamin D deficiency. So the sun healed him. And the sun comes from God. But how ungrateful we are. And if we're ungrateful to God, you better believe we'll be ungrateful to our wife. And we're ungrateful to God, you better believe we're ungrateful to a man that pays our bills and takes care of us. Ungrateful
right.
to a woman that cooks our food. But gratitude begins with being grateful to God through prayer. And if you can encourage your husband to pray, that's the beginning of communication. When you communicate with God, then you start communicating with the God in each other. And that's when the relationship would grow. Start with the Bible if you're a Christian. Start with the scriptures, the word of God, and say 15 minutes a day, we're going to just read the word and discuss what we think about it. That's going to open up the communication for sure.
That's right.
What do you think about that, honey? And then simultaneously, you're going to bond with God and learn his word and learn how to live according to his law, and then the communication will become more and more active. And you'll become more bonding because you know what? We're spiritual beings. We're from God. And you have to feed the God in each other. And if you're starving the God in each other, hell, that's why you're bored with each other. Hell, you ain't talking about nothing. Talk about football, baseball, you know, what Rihanna wear and she's naked and what happened next door and what happened around the corner. I don't see God in your husband. I don't see God in your wife. So what are you talking about? My wife has something to say. Thank you.
Go
very
ahead,
much
there, brother. Oh, of course, you know, we're going to definitely want to get some input from our sister Ruth. So go ahead, Sister Ruth.
Yes. And I'm going to input what the minister said.
That's right.
Well, we are blessed with a man who has received divine revelation, and we breathe in or inhale such wisdom, the brain cells begin to operate at the highest level of efficiency. And even though toxins may be there, even though poisons may be there, even though dull thought may be there, once there is a connection to the highest form of energy that is contained in divine revelation, the brain begins to oscillate, vibrate, function at its best level. The more it feeds from that source, the stronger the brain becomes. The greater is sight, the greater is hearing, the greater is ability to think and plan and bring into existence what it plans. So Satan then recognized that this is the end of his world. When the dead receive the life-giving word contained in divine revelation, Satan must enter the equation to cause the person not to think on, not to dwell on, not to conversate on the divine revelation. So Satan's job is to turn the mind away from the high thing and turn it toward sex, turn it toward material acquisition, turn it toward low things, then Satan has a chance to take that mind where he wants to take it in contravention to where God wants to take the human being. Ye are all gods, children of the Most High God. Well, what is the food that the gods feed on? They don't feed on cheap grass. They feed on the highest wisdom that is in creation. And by the feeding on that, they become what they feed on. And so I remember when we first heard the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We stayed up all night long. We had no recollection of time. We had a job to go to the next morning, but we were so energized because our conversation revolved around the wisdom of the divine revelation of God that we went to work the next day not feeling tired because the cells of our brains and the cells of our body were so energized by our focus on the revelation of God. And so the highest form of communication is to speak on, ask questions about, argue over what God has revealed to his servant, perfecting our understanding of what God reveals increases the level of energy. Hearing it, knowing it, and believing it is one level, but understanding it and applying it is the highest level of activity. So this is what the believers need to do. We need to feed on him in our heart. We need to feed on his word in our heart. We need to take that word as the central food to make it God. And don't add cheap food to good food. The more you feed on the pure essence of the revealed word of God, the faster you rise into him. Then he says, need I say more? So I think that is a beautiful input of the minister and how we can become, you know, super high on the word, and because this world is boring. And as long as we are on that level of the world, we will always be bored. I don't care if the sports are out there, sport and play, all that becomes boring. So, but as long as you talk about God, and I can bear witness because when my husband and I talk about the teachings and we talk about the word of God, I mean, we just get hyped, especially, you know, we listening to the news and they bear witnessing to the messenger's teaching. My husband just yesterday, he forwarded a email to me because he was telling me, he said, did you know that they found out that fasting 3 days renews your cells, immune system. I mean, so that right there, it gives me hype. When I hear that, I'm like, all praises due to Allah. They're bear witnessing to the man of God. So when you talk about the word, I mean, you can't do nothing but get happy, get excited. I mean, just, you know, you just ready to, like my husband always says, I feel like, you know, I can bring two hungry lions down.
That's right.
Feel like you can bring two hungry lions down, you know. So that's what I want to say to that brother and sister is that, you know, start off, like my husband said, you know, with the word of God. Start, you know, studying the word and dialoguing in the word and, you know, take it from there.
Praise be to Allah, sister. And, you know, and just to go along with what was already said by yourself and out your husband, Brother Stanley, you know, pray together, husband and wife, and really change your level of conversation. The highest and best conversation that one can have is on the, if they're Muslims, I'll tell you, outright on the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. If you're Christian, your dialogue, your conversation should be on the word of God and what has it done and is doing in your life. Any other conversation, it is boring. Your relationship is boring because in this world, what are you talking about? Same thing everybody else talking about, the Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs. That's fine. I like sports, but it's not that important to me. You're talking about that Atlanta Housewives, love and hip-hop, all of the things that the world promote that is of no type of stimulation to the mind. And so you get bored with that things. You're not material beings. You can buy your wife all kind of things. She can buy the husband all types of things. We're not material beings. We are spiritual beings. And if we're not feeding that energy, that spirit, well, naturally you're going to get bored because it's giving you no life. The conversations that we engage in and or people engage in, other than on the word, it takes life from you. So change what it is that you're talking about and find what it is that you have in common. I'm certain that brother enjoys something. I'm certain that that sister enjoys something. Do what you like and do it together. Find out what she likes, brother. Do it with her. Find out what he likes, sister. Do it with him. Because you can't get bored doing what I like. I can't and shouldn't be bored doing what you like. But then we do that which gives us life. We do that together. And it starts with prayer. So praise be to Allah. And we want to thank that brother and his wife, if I understand correctly, which is there with him, for that. And we pray and hope that you take what has been given and shared with you and actually apply it, not just hear this and disagree with what's being said after this is over, but actually go home or after the night, as soon as you hang up, go apply these messages. Strive to fight for your marriage. Because if you're bored, both bored, what else is there left? You got nothing else to lose right now. Go home and apply what's being said today. Change what you're talking about. Because you can't get bored with God. His wisdom is infinite. You can't get bored with it. Start with what you don't know. And search out, research out to know what you don't know. And then talk about it. And move away from the people in your life that's not talking about those things that the two of you together wish to discuss. Because those people will keep you in the conversation that's got you bored in your marriage. Praise be to Allah. Sister Queen, do we have anyone else in our chat room tonight or on the phone tonight with any questions whatsoever?
We have like 100 more questions, but we are over time tonight, I wish I had enough wind to give you the lineup, but I want to say that join us on Saturday. We're having a two-part special, of course. We're going to be hosting Brother Demetric as he defends the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in Jackson, Mississippi from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. And then Saturday we are going to still do our dedication to missing black youth. So we'll be doing that show from 8 to 10 Central Time. So that's all the wind I got right now, but I want to thank you, Brother Kadeem, for covering down for me. And, of course, Sister Ruth and Brother Stanley, as always, thank you all so much. Thank you, listening audience, and those of you in the chat room. And may Allah continue to bless each and every one of you and all of us. Mama, let Brother Kadeem close us out. Thank you, family. Love you much. Assalamu alaikum.
Sister Queen, I want to thank you. Walaikum salam. I want to thank you for allowing me to host the show. And listen, you get well. You do this 7 days a week, dear sister. And this show is affecting the lives of many that are listening globally, not just here in the United States, but globally. So get well, dear sister. We need you for the show to continue on. And I want to thank Brother Stanley, as always, and your dear wife, Sister Ruth, always for sharing your actual personal experiences through your marriage, your family, your children with our listening audience. And we want to thank our listening audience. The show would be nothing without you. You all are what give us the energy and the spirit to show up every single week to do this show, Nation Building. Remember, without strong family and strong marriage, there is no nation. And so we thank you, and we can never really truly thank you enough. We only pray that what you're hearing actually helps. And maybe one day, Sister Queen, Brother Stanley, Sister Ruth, we could do a show where people can give a testimony about how Sister Queen's work on the airwaves have changed and is affecting their lives in the positive. So thank you all very much. Oh, Sister Queen, you are affecting them, you know, but you have to apply. And we talked about tonight the benefits of Dianetics in your marriage. If you want to know about Dianetics, of course, if you're a believer, you already know you can go to your local mosque. There should be a Dianetics representative in the mosque. If not, the regional headquarters most definitely should have someone there. Those who are not in the Nation of Islam, you can Google Dianetics. Find the org in your city. Buy the book by L. Ron Hubbard. Read it and apply that technology to your life and watch your lives individually change, your marriages strengthen. Because we can tell you from actual fact, Dianetics work. We've seen it. Some of us have felt it and experienced it personally. And we know that it works because we've been given it by an instructor to go participate in this technology by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, a man of God who has never lied to us and has given us the truth. And in that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan have been called by the enemy, they have never printed anything to say he lied. In his 50-plus years of giving us these teachings, they have never called him a liar. So with that being said, dear family, we want to thank you so much. We're sorry we're not able to get everybody's questions. Sister Queen, we got to come up with a format where maybe we can answer their questions via Facebook after the show, the next day, or something, because I know if we got that many questions left, that room, we got a lot of people interested in what's being said. May Allah bless you all.
Well, everybody can send their questions to YGB Live, and that's Y as in Yo-Yo, G as in Girl, B as in Boy, which stands for Young, Gifted, and Black, Live at Gmail. So that's where a lot of the questions are. But you can also look for Sister Ruth Muhammad and Muhammad Stanley and Kadeem Amir Muhammad on Facebook and on Twitter. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure they would be more than happy to answer your questions as well.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Thank you all. I love this show. I love you all. I mean, I'm just excited about what's being done. I'm done, Sister Queen. May Allah bless us all. Brother Stanley.
Kadeem.
Love you, soldier. Sister Ruth, I love you, sister.
Love you too, sir.
And Sister Queen, you know I got nothing but love for you. You get well. I don't want to talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
I don't want to talk to
you
tomorrow. I don't want to talk to you till you better. And I know you got children coming in town that are needed for you to get better. So we don't want to talk to you. We need you well, dear sister.
Right, that's right.
Yes, sir. Well, I will be back on the air on Saturday. Sir, I'm
praise
sorry.
Allah.
That's an instruction. Get better.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah. I will. I'll be in the hospital tomorrow, and I'll be out Saturday, inshallah. So, Allah is God. That's all I can say.
Ma'am.
Allah is God. All praise is due to Allah.
Yes, ma'am. As-salamu alaykum, family.
Wa alaykum salam.